morning, and welcome to Thursday Morning Roundtable. My name is Sandra Barrett, and on behalf of University College of Syracuse University, it's my pleasure to welcome you here this morning to the final TMR of 2015. So, if you were reading the paper, you know that this morning, in just a couple of hours, there's a meeting in Albany in the governor's office. There's going to be an announcement of the winners of the Upstate Revitalization Initiative and also the regular Regional Economic Development Council money. So that, actually, as you might have guessed, is why the county executive is not with us today, as we had originally scheduled Joni Mahoney to be our speaker. We didn't want to break tradition with having the county executive here every year. So, but then this meeting in Albany came up, so we're keeping our fingers crossed, and that's where she is this morning. She will be, though, returning on February 4th. We've scheduled her, and we had already scheduled, if you'll recall, I mentioned that TMR will resume on January 28th, and your new moderator, Eileen Jevis, who is here in blue also, remember Eileen, will be at the podium, and perhaps also Carrie McDonald, who will be her right-hand person, replacing Colleen. Well, anyway, we'll get to that. So January 28th, we'll resume. We'd asked Rob Simpson and Kathy Murphy to come and talk about consensus. So hopefully they'll be talking about the local government modernization report, but they will maybe also be talking about the $500 million money, but we'll see. So we don't want to jinx that. So that's that. I'm very pleased that this morning Dennis Connors and Greg Tripoli from the Onondaga Historical Association agreed to come and do today's presentation, which of course is very special to me because it will be my last here at TMR after 17 years. So I'm happy about that. But right now, without further ado, let me introduce our guest speakers today. Dennis Connors, you all know Dennis because he's been a longtime TMR member, is the curator of history at the Onondaga Historical Association, where he's been since 1992, has a history working with historic resources at Onondaga County Parks and the Landmark Association of Central New York. And he's also authored and edited several books on Central New York history, which make great presents, by the way. By the way, Dennis is also a past board member of the Onondaga Citizens League and has been an invaluable resource to OCL studies. Greg Tripoli, executive director of the Onondaga Historical Association since 2008, when he also, astutely I might add, joined TMR. He's also a board member of the Downtown Committee of Syracuse, a founding board member of the Cathedral Square Development Association. He's been chair of the Governor's Path Through History Project for Central New York and a bunch of other committees and boards. So please welcome Greg Tripoli. We'll start out the program. Thank you.
Good morning. So actually, before I begin this morning, as you know, this is the last TMR for Colleen and Sandra. And so we have a little special presentation for them. And I'd like to invite up to the podium at this time Fred Fisk. Fred, don't take too much time now, you know, because we do have a president. Marilyn is here. Fred, sorry. Take a seat. I'm sorry. I would like to introduce longtime TMR member and good friend of mine, Marilyn Pinsky, who has a message from the TMR membership.
May I invite Sandra and Colleen to come up and join me? So I get the honor to make this presentation because I am the oldest member of the advisory committee, and reinforced only because as I walked past, someone just called me ma'am. Oh, sorry about that. But the real organizing for this and the heavy lifting, as you'll see shortly too, is the great Pam Brunet. with assist from Andrea Wandersee. Those of us who are holdovers from the Lee Smith era will remember how upset we were when he retired. Lee had gravitas. He knew our names, and he knew all the gossip going on in town. So who is this cute young thing sent by SU from the bowels of academe to run our roundtable? Who was this Sandra Barrett? Of course, now we know. She is the woman on the flying trapeze who manages multiple groups with the greatest of ease. Not only does she come up with wonderful speakers week after week for TMR and not get flustered when they're late getting here from out of town, but she glides around the room with a microphone like a professional talk show host. And she always has that well-researched question ready if there is ever a flagging moment in the Q&A. She has done the same wonderful job for the Institute of Retired People, who also has great speakers orchestrated by Sandra. The impact that the Onondaga Citizens League has had on our community will be long-lasting. Sandra has a special talent for vetting the advisory committee's ideas for topics, finding just the right people to be involved in the study committees, and finding the right experts on the topics to speak, all of which has enabled the Citizens League to produce factual reports on subjects that are timed perfectly ahead of when the important decisions are to be made. What could have been more timely than the Route 81 study? With those three organizations, all requiring bringing in multiple relevant and informed speakers, I can only conceive of how many balls you are always keeping in the air. And we all know Sandra is really too young to retire. Nobody would call her ma'am. So after a few weeks of sleeping in, cuddling with the cats and Calvin, I imagine that another organization is going to swoop in to take advantage of her very current knowledge of the inner workings of what is going on in our community. And every trapeze artist has someone who pushes them off and catches them on return. And Colleen has not missed a handoff. She is the person who keeps the show in the air, who knows the who, what, when, and where of how to make it happen. What a team. In their honor, our very own local and national wit and scribe, Fred Fisk, has written a special poem that captures the spirit of this teamwork.
Eileen's here. Carrie is there. Good. Don't anyone leave. No escaping this. Colleen and Sandra. Sandra and Colleen. As able a pair as I've ever seen. You can take your Laurel and Hardy, or Lewis and Clark, or the animals cruising on Noah's Ark. None can compare, I hope you'll agree, with these champions of local democracy. King Arthur himself, had he been able, would surely have hewed a new round table to place amidst these in Drumlin's fair hall each Thursday morning at Sandra's call. Good morning, she'd cry with her dazzling smile and twinkling eyes you can see for a mile. What civic adventure did she have in mind? What pertinent program had she designed? It's never the same from one week to the next, and TMR seldom adheres to a text. Original thinking is what it's about, with plenty of questions and figuring out. The pundits and potentates Sandra presents can speak for themselves. They don't need my defense. TMR's key is its independence, with Colleen discreetly keeping attendance. Beyond the horizons of TMR, Colleen and Sandra keep raising the bar for the Onondaga Citizens League. Shoot, no good rhymes with Citizens League. Intrigue? No, no, no. Fatigue? Certainly not. Indeed, OCL sets its committee a task, then Colleen and Sandra do all that they ask. The resulting studies make Syracuse stronger, helping us all to live better and longer. Speaking of which, retired professionals too have their day, with Sandra and Colleen leading the way. More programs, a sack lunch, coffee or tea, are grist for the mill at IRP. The scholarship named for the founder, Lee Smith, is something this duo also helps with. So the man who began all this civic commotion still inspires students with his devotion. Even though Sandra wears all these hats, she manages still to help find homes for cats. Her touching portrayals posted online make her pitch to cat lovers hard to decline. To their families and friends, this pair is the greatest. I'm a big fan too, but we all know the latest. Colleen and Sandra, a team all these years, are ending this episode of their careers. Ah, Colleen and Sandra, Sandra and Colleen, let's cheer for your future and for what you have been, and for Eileen and Carrie, Carrie and Eileen. Long live TMR, and welcome to the scene.
You haven't written down, right? So you're going to give me a signed autograph, huh?
Right over there.
That's great. That's
all the applause.
And now, a few tokens of TMR members' appreciation for all that you both have done. But first, I want to say on behalf of Pam and Andrea and the whole advisory committee, a very sincere thank you to everyone who responded so quickly and contributed so generously to these gifts. It's certainly a mark of everyone's esteem for Sandra and Colleen. I didn't even mean to make that one. Yeah, Colleen, come. For Colleen, a beautiful piece of Flambeau pottery by the well-known potterer Bill Campbell. And as Pam found out, you're an avid quilter, Colleen. So next is a gift card to Calico Gals, where you can purchase fabric to your heart's delight.
Thank you, Beth.
And through the generosity of all of you, a donation to your in your name to your favorite charity by Father's Kitchen. And Sandra. For Sandra, a one-of-a-kind hand-blown vase from Kiln Fusion and a generous gift card to the new Hotel Syracuse that will allow for you and Calvin enough to stay overnight, enjoy a delicious meal, and perhaps even a spa treatment, and a donation in your name to the CNY Cat Coalition.
Thank you very much. I was talking to somebody earlier, and it actually is reminded me of a quote that I came across a few months ago, and I'm not sure if it was after I had decided to voluntarily separate or after, but it went something like, what do you hope to achieve? And the answer was, I hope to do something that will make a difference that's so small it's not even noticeable, but if it's a difference nonetheless. So that is the way I feel about what we've been doing here, and it's really because of all of you and all of you who have participated in TMR and OCL and IRP and all of the rest of the programs and given your time to be civically literate and to volunteer and to be involved in public policy decisions. And so I really thank all of you for your interest and your attendance and your time. And today was more than fantabulous. Thank you all who participated. Fred, it's great. And Pam, I know you orchestrated a lot. Marilyn and the whole advisory committee. So thank you very, very, very much. I'm going to just take one more minute and invoke the name of Lee Smith because, of course, as I've been going through the files and cleaning them out, I came across a clipping. I actually have it over there. But, you know, Lee's last TMR was the very first TMR in this room, if you recall. So that was, it was Lee's last TMR, but the first one here. But Walt Shepard did a piece in the New Times the following week, and he said that probably the most difficult adjustment to make was the seating arrangements, because the old TMR did not have round tables. And so you all who were TMR members and had to figure out where to sit. Because in the old room, apparently, it was like a sociogram. You could tell who was sitting where by their affiliation. So bravo, we made a little bit of adjustment. But I just wanted to share that with you. And we survived that change. And best of luck to Eileen and Carrie. I'm afraid you scared them a little bit. These guys are great, so not to worry. Greg, thank you.
Well, talk about a couple of hard acts to follow. We did call our program for this morning A New Day for OHA, but I think that's probably the last rhyme that you'll hear from me. We called it A New Day for OHA because even though we've been around for a long time, I wonder how much people really know about the OHA of 2015. I bet most of you, when you think of OHA, you think of a museum. And certainly our museums, and I use the plural because we, as many of you know, just opened a new facility. But our museums are very important to us, and certainly they're a huge part of our community service. But really, the majority of our time, energy, and resources are spent outside of our museum walls. Officially, OHA is a private, nonprofit, educational association of historic services, museums, research and educational centers, and retail operations in Onondaga County. And the majority of OHA's time and resources are actually devoted to the collection, preservation, processing, interpretation, storing, and exhibiting the history of Syracuse and Onondaga County. This is the beginning of a group of services that I'm going to explain to you that OHA does. But these activities are what defines us as a non-discretionary art and cultural institution. Every single day, items come to us for consideration for inclusion in our collections. If the item or the collection of items is historically significant, we're not doing our job if we don't accept it. We have no real control over our workload in this particular part of our business. We're not building a collection just for the sake of building a collection. And almost everything else that we do and that I'm about to tell you about is to raise and make the money necessary to carry out these activities. The exhibiting part of this service does often include our museums, but actually most of our exhibits are off-site. Off-site exhibits cover a few categories. These include temporary and traveling exhibits that we do for many events and organizations, including exhibits that many of you will see this season at Syracuse Stage and Symphoria. In fact, we have an exhibit up now at Stage for their production of Peter Pan, and Dennis Connors will speak to you a little bit about that collaboration with Syracuse Stage and the Peter Pan exhibit. We also do permanent off-site exhibits, such as the one that we just completed on Willis Carrier and the Carrier Corporation for the Center of Excellence. That's actually a follow-up to a permanent exhibit that we have there already on our history of technological innovation. And that one was so popular that they asked us to do this second permanent installation. As part of our economic development initiatives, we also do company exhibits that highlight the history and contributions of companies in our area. A historical company exhibit speaks to that organization's longevity, adaptability, sustainability, and relevance. They're used for marketing, promotion, recruiting, as well as employee morale boosting. We've done many, many of these around the community. We're currently working on such an exhibit for Pathfinder Bank, a company with a relatively new name, but a long and impressive history that goes back well over 100 years. And that's important when you're choosing a bank, and we can and will help them tell that story. OHA is an educational institution, so really practically everything we do has education at its core. But we do have an education department, and that provides over 130 educational programs per year, from our living history tours, like our very popular ghost walks, to keynote addresses, to lectures, to a variety of in-school programs, to teacher training and curriculum development, like the project that we're currently finishing for the Syracuse City School District. That project includes over 100 teaching packets that were developed in collaboration with teachers and administrators to incorporate local history in state-required curriculum material. OHA believes that students will be more receptive and they will retain more if they knew that things that happened in their own backyard were affected by or had an effect on state, national, and international global studies. Our publishing department is another important active one at OHA. We publish 2 60-page glossy magazines per year. I've put some of them on the tables. Please do not take them, but feel free to thumb through them, particularly if I begin to bore you. I won't be offended if you're reading our magazine. These magazines, by the way, are just part of the benefits of membership to OHA. Membership is our lifeblood at OHA, and the cost is extremely reasonable and the benefits are tremendous. So please consider becoming a member, and there are also membership forms on each of the tables. We also publish an average of about 2 books a year. This year we published Salt City Trivia, that was written by Dick Case, and volume 2 of our series Windows into the Past, a compilation of short stories written by OHA staff. By the way, both of these books are excellent holiday gifts. We're currently working on volume 3 of the Windows series. We write quite a bit for social media, including blogs, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Syracuse Guru, and others. We are regular contributors to the Post Standard, Syracuse Media Group, and the Central New York Business Journal. We anchor the back of CNY, the Good Life magazine, for every issue, and it is still the best magazine in Central New York. And we often write feature articles for these and many other publications and journals. Many of you may have read Dennis Connors' feature article in the current issue of The Good Life about the old mansions on James Street. The positive response to that article was so overwhelming that we have decided to turn it into a coffee table book to be authored by Dennis in a co-publishing deal with Syracuse University Press. We also write exhibit texts and scripts and brochures and programs, and we write a lot. We're also writing a book on the history of the Hotel Syracuse, authored by Dick Case, which brings me to our next services department, special projects. Special projects are those that encompass a variety of departments and services. Certainly one of our most public special projects currently is the Hotel Syracuse. We're providing the art for the hotel, the rooms, bathrooms, corridors, public spaces, and we'll have major retail presence at its gift shop. In fact, we're developing products just for the hotel. We'll provide regular tours of the property, and we'll curate an exhibit space just off the lobby with displays on the history of the hotel and of the community. And as you know, we are organizing and benefiting from the grand reopening of the hotel. It'll be the first time that the public will have access to the entire hotel. We almost have a date. We should have a date probably by the end of this week. So look very soon for that announcement in the papers and social media and television. I'd like to take a moment to say, though, what a pleasure it has been to work with and get to know Ed Reilly. He is really the epitome of a gentleman. Yeah. And we, as a community, are so fortunate that he has taken this project on. And I can tell you that the hotel, when it's finished, will be more beautiful than any of us have ever seen it. We're also doing a film on the history of the restoration of the hotel, and on the history and the restoration of the hotel, and that brings me to our next service category, films. OHA has actually been doing films for a few years now, mostly short subject films, like 90-second interstitials for PBS, short mobile device accessed films like the ones we've just completed for the Onondaga Creek Walk Historic Signage Project. We've done edited oral history films for the Onondaga County Bar Association and many others. Our new Scano Great Law of Peace Center in Liverpool is actually film-based. The centerpiece of each of the six permanent exhibits are a four-minute film with Haudenosaunee leaders and elders telling you their history and values as they have been handed down through generations of oral history. We're also wrapping up a full-length documentary film on the history of Onondaga Lake called Beneath the Surface. And I'm going to tell you one of the stories from that film and from the Scano Great Law of Peace Center in a minute. Our films and our publications allow us to reach a much larger, wider audience than we can with just our museums or our off-site exhibits. Consulting is the last of the services that I want to cover. OHA provides historic perspective for many community projects, from historic property designation to projects like Interstate 81. It's important to use our history to learn what worked, what didn't, and why, and to see what principles we can apply to today's issues. So that pretty much covers the services part of our operations and now our research and educational centers. The Richard and Carolyn Wright Research Center, located on the second floor of our building in downtown, houses the largest collection of local history, and it should. We've been continually collecting for over 153 years. The collection includes some of the most important historical research material in the country, like the first known photograph of famous abolitionist Frederick Douglass, or the Progressive Revolutionary first document of the very first provincial Congress of the Colony of New York, written in 1775. It was actually the precursor to the Declaration of Independence, which was signed a little more than a year later. Or the centennial autograph book of the National Association of Women's Suffrage from 1876. And also filmed oral histories of national and international icons like Karen DeCroix, Orrin Lyons, and Ruth Colvin. It's impossible to even list the number of authors and scholars and producers and researchers who have cited OHA's Research Center as a source, but they range from people like Ken Burns for his recent documentary on the Roosevelts to TMR's own Arnie Rubenstein for his wonderful book, Jake's Place. The Research Center provided the missing link that reunited famous author Eric Carle with his childhood friend and the inspiration for his best-selling book, Friends, after over 80 years. Sean Kirst wrote about that, and it was picked up by USA Today and media outlets all over the country. The Great Law of Peace Educational Center, directed by Dr. Philip Arnold from Syracuse University, is developing a curriculum for teaching Haudenosaunee history with the same academic collaborative that helped develop the Scano Center. And it includes department chairs and experts from SU, SUNY ESF, OCC, Lemoyne, and Empire State College. The Educational Center also sponsors a series of university-level symposiums with representatives from schools like Harvard and Yale and Cornell. The Educational Center is part of the new Scano Great Law of Peace Center, and that brings me to our museums. And I'd like to start with the Scano Great Law of Peace Center because, and spend a little bit of time on that because it's the newest addition to OHA's family. The Scano Center presents the authentic voice of the Haudenosaunee and is an oral history facility. There's nothing like it in this area, and there are several things about it that make it unique anywhere. I'd also like to say that we used all local contractors to develop and build the center. We're a local organization, and we shop local. And I would highly recommend all of them. It was probably the most joyous construction experience I've ever had, beginning with King & King Architects and Rich & Gardner Construction, Exhibits & More Design Firm, and Solon Quinn Studios, who was our partner on the films. Aside from the films in each of the exhibits, there's also text panels that provide much more in-depth information. It's not an objects-based museum. There is art. There are images, documents, wampum belts, and sculpture, but they are all really there to support and interpret the narrative. The Haudenosaunee method of historical documentation is through oral history, so we wanted to maintain that tradition at the center. One of the great features of the center are the touch pads that are located throughout each of the permanent exhibits, which allow the visitor to access a tremendous amount of additional information, including over 30 hours of unedited oral history film. The Scano Center is unique for a number of reasons, not the least of which is the unusual collaboration that we created to develop it. Four groups that have historically not seen eye to eye when it comes to Native American issues: a Native nation, a local government, a traditional historical organization, and an academic collaborative. That nation is, of course, the Onondaga Nation, the spiritual and political center of the Six Nation Haudenosaunee Confederacy, whose history and values are the basis for the center. The facility is owned by Onondaga County. Now, the disagreements between these two entities are well known and well publicized, mostly over the cleanup of the lake and the amphitheater. And don't forget, the amphitheater was announced and constructed during the development of the Scano Center. The center is managed and operated by OHA, which, like many similar organizations, had for well over 100 years a serious collection of items of cultural patrimony and sacred items, including human remains, from the Haudenosaunee. In the 19th and early 20th centuries, OHA was one of those organizations that advocated for the, quote, civilization of the Haudenosaunee. OHA developed and operates the center in collaboration with an academic collaborative, which I detailed earlier. The academic model in the United States is still very heavily Eurocentric, a model that has relied almost completely on biased written documents for primary source material, without the same scrutiny as that which is applied to oral history tradition. Many of our schools here also have an early history of strict Christian doctrine. Remember, the boarding schools were schools funded by the government and run by Christian organizations operating under the strategy of save the man, kill the Indian in him. That was basically amounted to following a strategy of genocide with one of ethnocide. Our educational system is still, for the most part, reflects the white man's perspective of Haudenosaunee history and values. So there were, needless to say, a lot of long-standing hard feelings from the past and current issues that highlighted the difference in perspectives that still exist. The Great Law of Peace is about five warring nations coming together in peace, and I have to say that we lived a bit of that process in developing the Scano Center. But groups like these can find common ground and common purpose for the benefit of the common good. Knowing each other's histories, traditions, cultures, and beliefs can light the way to new understandings and respect that can bring us together and a more peaceful coexistence. Not only the Scano Center's mission, but its successful development and its very existence prove that. I'd like to tell a story now about the Great Law of Peace, because a lot of people don't know about it. And this is going to be the quickest version of the Great Law of Peace that you've ever heard. But basically, it involves the great peacemaker who came across Onondaga Lake in a stone canoe to bring the five warring nations of the Haudenosaunee together, creating the Haudenosaunee Confederacy. That confederacy was the most formidable entity on the continent prior to European arrival, and it is the first representative democracy in the West. Now, in the process, on the shores of Onondaga Lake, the peacemaker uprooted a great white pine tree. And in the hole that resulted, he had all the warriors throw their weapons of war in there. That, by the way, is the origination of the phrase, bury the hatchet. Now, how many of you have used that phrase but never knew that originated right here on the shores of our little lake? After they replanted the great white pine, and that became their symbol of peace, the great tree of peace. In the process, the great peacemaker explained to them that one nation is like one arrow, could be easily broken, but five nations together is like five arrows, impossible to break. And that, he explained, is their strength. He put an eagle on the top of the tree to be the ever-vigilant protector of the peace. Now, three men whom you may know of, John Adams, Benjamin Franklin, and Thomas Jefferson, their very first jobs were as representatives to the Haudenosaunee Confederacy. They knew very well the story of the great law of peace. They talked about it. They wrote about it. They repeated it. Benjamin Franklin was a printer. He printed about it. In fact, he printed one of the first printed versions of the great law of peace. They used the Confederacy and the great law of peace to convince the 13 nations, or 13 original colonies, to come together to form a more perfect union. Coincidentally, these were also the same three men who were charged with the task of providing the stories, the images, for inspiration to the man who was designing our great seal. And if you look at our great seal, you can see, obviously, the eagle in the talons. In one of the talons are 13 arrows representing the original 13 colonies. The imagery from the great law of peace is repeated in our great seal, which is on every single dollar bill. The presence of the recreated 17th century mission of St. Marie among the Iroquois, commonly known as the French Fort, really required that the center deal with the issue of contact, since the mission represents the first formalized diplomatic contact between the Onondaga Nation and Europeans. In this case, the French Jesuit missionary diplomats. Of course, contact was immediately due to disease, and eventually, due to a variety of consequences, devastating for the Haudenosaunee. The center is a moving and often eye-opening recognition of these losses, but it's also a powerful story of resilience and continuity of culture, traditions, and governance that have made important contributions to our American way of life. St. Marie is interpreted to reflect life at the mission through self-guided or docent-led tours. It will not be a living history facility. It will also reflect on the discrepancy in the story of St. Marie from the perspectives of the written Jesuit relations and the Haudenosaunee oral history. Now, OHA's flagship museum in downtown Syracuse is our community's only general comprehensive history museum, and it is our goal to maintain it as a free facility. In fact, at the Onondaga Historical Museum, all of our exhibits are free all of the time, and we intend to keep it that way as a service to the community. Thank you. And by the way, we mount an average of about 12 temporary in-house exhibits per year in our museums, so there's always something new to see. Currently, we have two new temporary exhibits that you should definitely see. Our holiday exhibit, Snowy Splendor, is an exhibit that gets more popular with more submissions every year. And it consists of local artist depictions of local winter scenes. And it's just spectacularly beautiful, featuring wonderfully talented local artists. We also have another exhibit up that has received 100% glowing reviews, and for good reason. It features only art from OHA's permanent collection that was created only by women of Central New York. It really is indicative of the depth and the quality of OHA's amazing art collection, as well as the high level of quality work from our curators. We've also made many improvements to our historic building over the years. And recently, thanks to a grant from the Connective Corridor, we have a new sidewalk entrance with new signage, bike rack, and a new ceiling for our building vault that extends under the sidewalk on our basement level. We're also installing a new air conditioning system, thanks to a lead gift by Carrier, with a match comprised of grants from local foundations, the Central New York Community Foundation, the Gifford Foundation, the Reisman Foundation, and the Richard Mather Fund. In 2016, we will be developing a new permanent exhibit focusing on our Judaic heritage. The history of our Jewish community is absolutely astounding. Many of you have heard me talk about our local Jewish community and how it helped to build Broadway as we know it. And that's just one of the many stories that this new permanent exhibit will tell. We have another department at OHA that deserves some attention. It doesn't really set OHA apart, as all nonprofits have a development department, but it is an important part of our operation. And they do such great work with membership, which is at record levels, donor relations and programs, events, fundraisers, friendraisers, gifts, planned gifts, grants, PR, social media, and so many other functions. They write, help with curating and programs. They're developing also a new website with TMR member Brian Hoke from Bentley Hoke, and that new website should be up and running in February. OHA also has retail operations. I'm not going to go into the detail about all the great products that we offer and the interesting licensing deals that we're doing, but I do want to brag about some of our products that others have raved about, like our Congress beer drink tray, which Baltimore Magazine selected as one of the top 10 products that you need for a successful party. And our Italian wine glasses decorated with designs from Syracuse, China, which Food Network Magazine chose this recent May as one of the best bets for a Mother's Day gift. Our products represent our local history and a veritable cornucopia of local designers, manufacturers, crafters, and entrepreneurs. We have lots of wonderful new products for this holiday season, including the Teddy Roosevelt Bear. And an apron featuring over 80 back stamps from Syracuse, China. As many of you probably read on the front page of the newspaper a couple of weeks ago, OHA has formulated a plan in collaboration with the University Neighborhood Preservation Association and a number of other stakeholders by which OHA will own and operate the Gustav Stickley House on Columbus Avenue in Syracuse. It is the... Thank you. It is the first Craftsman interior in the world and has the first fully developed arts and crafts decor in the United States. It was the inspiration for a style that launched a movement in everything from furniture to decorative arts to architecture that are all still extremely popular today. We'll be developing our plan for the house in the coming year while the exterior restoration is being done. I can tell you that our concept for the house will be a departure from the traditional house museum operation and management. It will have a strong public component, a strong academic component, and a strong revenue-producing component, because it must be sustainable, and it must contribute to the economic development as well as the quality of life in this community. And I'd just like to take a moment to speak to people's concerns about that neighborhood, and I'd like to do so with a question. How can we make our challenged neighborhoods better if we don't make the effort, use what we have at our disposal, support those who are already making a valiant effort, and do what we can to make them better? In addition to all the projects I've mentioned, OHA is working on a number of new and exciting projects that we hope to announce soon, and that will continue to bring the fascinating stories of our history to a wider and wider audience in more creative ways. Though we deal with the past, we are strategically focused on the future, and we look forward to utilizing that past to help ensure a brighter future for everyone. Thank you. And now, I'd like to invite Dennis Connors up for a short presentation on our collaboration with Syracuse Stage.
This will be brief. This is just to give you an insight into one example of the many programs that Greg has been talking about. And this is relative currently because I'm sure a lot of you over the next couple of weeks will be enjoying Syracuse Stage's production of Peter Pan. And so when you're out in the lobby before, during intermission, or even after the play, take a moment to look at the exhibits that we have there. This is a collaborative that actually began back in 2009, working especially in conjunction with Kyle Bass, the dramaturg at Syracuse Stage. And you know, one of Kyle's jobs is to make the theme of the plays, the content of the plays, especially relevant to the community, to find ways to explore the themes and to get people thinking about them. And that partnership, as I said, began in 2009. Our first collaboration was with the play Little Women, which, as you know, takes place it's during the Civil War. And we usually do 4, 5, 6, or 7 panels, depending on the particular topics and whatever. But if you know the story of Little Women, it takes place during the Civil War, and one of the panels deals with letter writing, which there's a whole scene where the characters are reading letters that were sent by their father. And OHA has several original letters written during the Civil War, and we found one in doing our research. And this is what's sort of amazing when these themes come up of these different plays. It's a challenge, but it's also kind of fun to see how we can probe into the depths of OHA's very rich, very deep collection, and find these little nuggets, these interesting little stories that we can tie back into the play. And we actually found these exchange of letters from the Sager family between a brother and his young sister, between George Sager and Emma Sager. And we actually had pictures of both George in his Civil War uniform and Emma as a little girl, almost the same age as one of the characters in the Little Women play. Moby Dick, some of you may remember. That was interesting. How do you tie hunting whales into Syracuse history? Well, we talked about the use of whale oil in Syracuse, the connection between oil lamps and early products of Syracuse's Dietz Lantern Company. And interestingly, we've even found, and that's depicted there on the right, the panel there, the life of a particular Syracuse man who had served on a New Bedford whaler in 1859, a man named Henry Burton. And we actually tracked down, working with the New Bedford Whaling Museum, some of the original documentation of him on the ship, a man from Syracuse, and the rest of his story. Perhaps even more interesting, we dug up out of our collection, the connection of a Syracusan named Enoch Reed between his probable service on a whaler with Herman Melville, the author of Moby Dick, in 1841, and his role 10 years later in helping with the Jerry rescue of Syracuse, the rescue of a fugitive slave. We certainly had fun with the ghostly theme of the 2013's play Blithe Spirit, and we told some of the several good local ghost stories, including, of course, one of the most famous, the 13 Curves, the wedded bride on 13 Curves. And then we came to Peter Pan, the first collaboration of this season. And that led to an exhibit that explores the lost girls and boys of Syracuse through our local 19th century orphanages, the rich history of those orphanages, and some of the people that supported those. But, you know, I was really intrigued. Even though the orphanage story certainly relates to the Peter Pan story because the lost boys are orphans, I wanted to find something a little more direct, a Syracuse connection more directly to Peter Pan. And doing a little research, it turned out that Maud Adams, a very famous actress in the early 19th century, was the first woman to play the role of Peter Pan on Broadway in 1906 and 1907. And then turned out that after the Broadway run, she went on with her troupe to a touring company that traveled around the country. And wouldn't you know it, one of the places they came was Syracuse. In both 1906 and 1907, with Maud Adams, the leading character, playing Peter Pan on the stage of the Wheating Opera. And we were able to, here's the panel, one of the panels that's up at Syracuse Stage. We actually have in our collection the original program from the Wheating when Maud Adams played Peter Pan. There's an entry from the actual program. And then we even have in our collection the review by the local newspaper of Maud Adams' performance in the Wheating, where the audience expressed belief in fairies. So it's always amazes me that whatever Syracuse Stage throws at us, and we sit down with Kyle Bass and do a little thinking and a little digging, we can usually find some Syracuse connection to almost any play that they produced over at Syracuse Stage. And that's a really great collaboration. We enjoy doing that. A lot of times there are corporate sponsors and community entities that sponsor those exhibits for us. And so when you go this holiday season to see Peter Pan, take a few minutes to look at the exhibit and learn a little bit more about Syracuse's connections to that story. Thank you.
We have time for just a few questions, if anybody has anything.
Not a question, really. First of all, go shopping at OHA. You're going to be shocked at the cool stuff that they've got going on over
Thank
there.
Thank you, Bea.
And second, I just wanted to make sure that I, from University College and Syracuse University, expressed our thank you and gratitude to Sandra and Colleen for all the great work they've done for TMR over the last year. So on behalf of UC and SU, thank you, ladies.
Thank you, ladies.
I actually don't have a question, but I just wanted to say we saved the life of Tinkerbell again last night, too.
Hi. Hi. First of all, I'm very happy that you've decided to work on the Stickley House. I hope you weren't referring to the Westcott neighborhood as a blighted neighborhood, but we are really happy about it. I wondered if you could elaborate a little bit when you say that it's not going to be a traditional house, you know, museum in your thoughts at the moment. Sure. And I invite you to come to Eastside TNT and talk a little bit more and involve the public. Thanks.
Sure. You know, if you take a look at house museums, both in our community and across the country, the model for management of those museums needs to be drastically changed. They're suffering. They're struggling. They're closing. And so when OHA considered taking on the Stickley project after the Everson pulled out, we knew that we would have to do something drastically different than what is traditionally house museum management. And so I don't really want to talk too much about the details of that because we will be developing them over the coming year. We have a number of ideas, but what we do know is that we need to do something very different in order to make this project successful. So look for drastic changes. An anarchist guide to house museum management.
Again, just a comment. I have a cousin who moved with his family from Syracuse when he was 10 years old. He now lives in Las Vegas, but he really has this love of Syracuse and memory of the late 40s and 50s. As a member, I rejoice when I receive the magazines. And also, many of the articles over the last year in the Post Standard of just the history of Syracuse and Central New York. At Christmas time, this becomes a wonderful present that I send him. Just, you know, all of these wonderful articles and the magazines that just bring to him all of the memories of Syracuse. So again, for me, it's just a thank you for all I think that the publications and for Onondaga Historical Society does to allow people like me to share that history with people who no longer live here.
Well, thank you right back, because the magazine we're very proud of. It's certainly a great member retainer. But it's, you know, I mean, it's our members are members because they love history. And so we thought that we should share with them some of the great stories. And every magazine is filled with a number of really, really wonderful stories about our local history. So a lot of people love the magazine, and we're glad that they do.
This is a quick one. I joined OHA about 4 weeks ago, and I'd just like to know when I can expect the first magazine.
You probably just missed our most recent edition, but there's one around here, and I'll make sure that you get one because your timing was just a little off. But generally, they're in April and October.
Okay.
Spring summer issue and fall winter issue.
Thank you.
So thank you very much, and I just want to say thank you on behalf of OHA to Sandra and Colleen for all that you've done, not only to highlight the great history of our community, but to make a little bit of history here for us as well. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Greg. And I also want to thank Bea for allowing us to continue with TMR and the other programs. And I would be remiss if I didn't thank our hosts, Angie and Bobby. They have never missed. They have never missed a program. And also WCNY and Dave White. I mean, he is just unflappable when anything with the sound system goes wrong or any of that. So thank you all. And yes, and a reminder that not if you want to hear Fred reciting the poem again or Marilyn or Greg, Dennis, you can hear them on WCNY.org. And thank you all very much. And please do continue and spread the word. Thanks.